Shalom, this is Billy Brim, and the voice of One Witness Radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks in Branson, Missouri. I'm reading my book, The Blood and the Glory. We are now on Chapter 9, The Bloodline. Honor the Blood. The Holy Spirit brought to my attention a wonderful tract I highly recommend. It's still in print today. It was written by W.B. Young, a leader at Keswick. The Keswick Convention was a great convention that was held back in those days, and it was very, very spiritual meetings. W.B. Young was a leader at Keswick and definitely qualifies as one of our old-timers. Remember that Brother Hagin said knew more about the blood than had been known at that time. That was widely known when I wrote my book. This tract is entitled Honor the Blood. Reverend Young began with how Satan tries to break down the spiritual and physical life of the saint of God. He wrote, quote, "There is no saint, weak or strong, who goes unnoticed by the destroyer. Soulish ingenuity," Reverend Young emphasized, "is no match for satanic strategy. The strongest efforts of resistance will crumble under the force of hell's fury when met by any other way than God's way." Through an excellent teaching, Reverend Young expounded upon God's way. There must be a personal application of the blood of Christ in order to stem the tide of spiritual destruction in the life of the child of God. It was said of Moses that, quote, "Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should destroy them." Hebrews 11:28. Reverend Young writes, "It is a personal matter. The blood shall be to you for a token. The blood shall be to you for a token." Exodus 12:13 says, T-O-K-E and token, sign. "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." The blood applied by sprinkling was all that was required for peace of mind and rest of heart. It took away all fear of the destroying angel. It was not mere interest in the blood, nor belief in its power, nor application of its worth that availed. It was the applied blood that counted. Truth was translated into action. So it is with the blood of the Lord Jesus. It is effective against satanic floods when applied by faith. A proper application of his blood to a given situation, if the believer is operating from a cleansed position, always brings deliverance. It never fails. As God built a hedge around Job, which limited Satan, so today he will do the same for any child of God who applies the blood to a given situation. The blood is the hedge that stops the destroyer. The blood is the hedge that stops the destroyer. We will come back to this tract a little later when we consider just how to apply the blood of Jesus to the given situations in life today. But first, we must consider in some detail another account of the bloodline being drawn from the Bible. Chapter 10, If Rahab Could, Then We Can. God gave an amazing revelation of the power in the blood to protect in the account of Rahab the harlot. As I wrote the book, I was sitting in Israel, not far south of Jericho, actually at the Dead Sea, and out of my window I saw the mountains of Moab changing colors in the light of the setting sun. Those mountains lie east of the Jordan River in present-day Jordan. But from my vantage point, it was too far away to reveal any detail. Those mountains appear just as they did 3,300 or so years ago, when the children of Israel passed through on their way to the Promised Land. In these surroundings in Israel, my mind wonders anew at the remarkable faith of a Canaanite harlot. For what Rahab did, the Bible says, she did by faith. Hebrews 11:31. And my mind wanders back easily to the circumstances of her world. The whole country was filled with fear. The massive multitude of the children of Israel, perhaps 2.5 million, had destroyed the kingdoms that tried to stop their move toward the Promised Land, the land of Canaan. The Bible describes the state of the area's kings. Quote, "Their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them anymore, because of the children of Israel." Joshua 5:1. The inhabitants of Jericho, a Canaanite city-state, were terrified. Yet, in the midst of a frightened population, one woman exercised faith so great it gained for her a good report from God and a place in 2 Bible halls of fame. The lineage of Jesus in Matthew 1 and the elders of faith in Hebrews 11. Every circumstance of Rahab's life and society was against her exercising such faith. The day's headlines, so to speak, warned of impending doom. Her religion was against her. The Canaanite religion sacrificed children in the fire and centered on sex. The Revell Bible Dictionary says about it, quote, "The religion of the Canaanites focused on fertility. Religious rites employed sex to stimulate the gods and goddesses to grant fertility to the land and to their livestock. The moral and religious depravity of the Canaanites portrayed in Scripture and revealed even more clearly in the materials recovered from Ugarit by archaeologists explains why God commanded Israel to totally destroy these people within the borders of the Promised Land. The war of extermination was a long-delayed divine judgment on the Canaanites." Genesis 15:16. Jehovah's plan seemed to be against Rahab. The creator of the universe determined it was time to execute judgment upon her society, and she lived in the most dangerous spot on the globe. Her house was on the city wall, which God decreed must fall. Rahab's faith deserves close consideration, for it reveals a way to use the power of the blood in the face of today's events. Joshua sent 2 spies into Jericho. They lodged at the harlot's house, possibly because it would not arouse suspicion. When the king of Jericho heard it, he sent men after them. Rahab hid the spies under stalks of flax upon her flat roof while she managed to get rid of the king's men. Before the Hebrew spies left, she said to them, quote, Joshua 2:9-11, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us." In actually fact, she named his name. "I know that Jehovah hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how Jehovah dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did under the 2 kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For Jehovah your God, he is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath." Rahab heard the same news everyone in town heard, the supernatural acts of Israel's God. Fear filled the hearts of the overwhelming majority, but faith filled Rahab's heart, for she decided to believe that Jehovah must be the true God. Based upon her belief, her faith spoke. Joshua 2:12, quote, "Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by Jehovah, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token." There's that word again. and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Rahab dared to ask for the lives of her father, her mother, her brothers, her sisters, and she wanted all their possessions, their material goods, their belongings. It's a good thing she hadn't talked to some people today. They'd have talked her out of such audacity. But it evidently pleased God. See Hebrews 11. Rahab also wanted a true token, a sign. If the spies had not been running for their lives, they might have slain a lamb and placed the same token upon Rahab's doorpost, which was sprinkled upon the Hebrews' doorpost when judgment was coming to Egypt 40 years earlier. This time, a scarlet cord would have to do for Rahab and her family. A scarlet line would represent the blood of the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Joshua 2:18. Behold, the spies said, when we come into the land, you shall bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which you did let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father, thy mother, thy brothers, and all their father's household and home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet thread in the window. Sometime later, with no natural weapons, Israel executed God's plan to utterly destroy Jericho. You know the story. 6 days they marched. 7 days they blew the ram's horn, and the wall of Jericho coming down. On the seventh day, they compassed the city 7 times. Joshua 6:20, and the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring her out, all and all she has, as you swore unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab, all her family, and all they had. Over and over, the Bible represents and emphasizes the saving of Rahab's loved ones. The word translated kindred in the Hebrew means families, plural. All of her family was saved, and all that they ask. If Rahab drew a bloodline and saved her family, then you can draw a bloodline and save yours. If Rahab drew a bloodline and saved her possessions, then you can draw a bloodline and save yours. This is Billy Brim from Prayer Mountain. Call us at 1-800-972-3447. You can get our book, The Blood and the Glory, other tapes and things we have. But be sure to join us again as we look into this wonderful subject in these perilous times and the power in the blood to protect. Shalom.